So welcome to another All About Symbian podcast. We're trying something a little bit different this time. We're going to be doing a group discussion, and this time it's myself, Ray Blanford, and Steve Litchfield. We're going to talk over some of the topics of interest that have been coming up in the Symbian world this week to try and give you an alternative view of what's going on and just try something a bit different. We'd love to hear your feedback if you have got any feedback after listening to the show, and I'll remind you again at the end, but you can always email me, rafe@allaboutsymbian.com. So, Steve, would you just like to say hello?
Hello there, Rafe. Hello, All About Symbian listeners.
Right, so this week, obviously, we're going to talk a little bit about a device that's just been released, which hopefully most of you know about now, and it's the Nokia N82. So the first thing I thought we'd do is just have a quick run through of the features. So, Steve, do you want to give us a quick run through?
Well, you can best think of the N82, as far as I can tell, as an N95's feature set in a candy bar form factor. Now, there are a couple of small differences, but the core features of the 5 megapixel camera, the GPS, the Wi-Fi, the TV out, universal plug and play, 3.5mm jack, stereo speakers, they're all there and present and correct, but in the candy bar form factor, which means there's no slider to break or to wobble or to get loose. The only downside, as far as I can tell, I can't think of any downsides. The advantage is a xenon flash, and that's it. Are there any downsides compared to the N95?
Well, I suppose the only downside really is it's a slightly smaller screen, and that's basically a result of the form factor. So I'm not sure you can necessarily count that as a downside. Yep. I just think it's something that's different. I suppose the only other difference is they have removed the infrared port. So if that's something you use, it's take it into consideration, especially with software like Psylock's infrared remote control coming out. But, you know, to me, that's really a minor thing. And unless you use it, it's not going to bother you. And I imagine the number of people using IR ports these days is pretty small.
Sure.
So personally, you know, the N82 looks to me like an N73, but advanced by sort of 2 years, essentially. So I'm sure it's going to be a very popular device because the form factor, that candy bar form factor, I mean, it's still my favourite form factor. I don't particularly like sliders or clamshells. So, as you said, an N95 in a slightly different package. And,
it's worth pointing out that the RAM, by the way, the free RAM, which we've been going on about for ages and all about Symbian, that Nokia really are taking this on board. And the N82, as far as we've heard and confirmed on forum Nokia, is the full 90 megabytes, which I'm assuming means it's got demand paging, just as in the N95 8 gigabyte, which means basically that everything starts faster, runs faster, and you never run into memory problems. And it's also worth noting one other change is the N95 has fairly reasonable sized keys on the keypad. The N82 has this, well, I don't particularly like them. They're a personal thing. The calculator, horizontal calculator buttons, Sony Ericsson style. Nokia used this on their N91 a few years back. That's just a personal choice. I prefer the N95's larger keys that I get my fingers around, but your mileage may vary.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, as you say, keyboard's always a very personal thing. One thing I did notice about the N82 is the keys are nicely spaced apart, so it should be possible to use them. But if you're doing a lot of SMS messaging, I suspect those smaller keys could get a bit painful after a while. But I think that's a wait and see after you've actually used it for a little bit.
Yeah.
I think the other thing that's interesting about the N82 is the positioning of it. Nokia have been very clear in saying that it's a camera-focused device, and you've already mentioned the xenon flash. However, I think it's worth stating that it is also a very powerful device in other ways. There is a 3.5mm audio jack, so it will be a good music device as well. And, of course, it's running the latest version of S60, so it's got all the latest software on it as well. There's things like the Nokia Search Client, which gives you a much more powerful search than has previously been available. There's also the new version of the podcasting client, which means you can pause and play podcasts, which is a much improved over the earlier versions, which were a little impractical unless you were listening to a whole podcast in one go. And I think there's all sorts of little software touches. As you said, the RAM makes an enormous difference just because it means that you're able to use multiple applications without ever having to worry about, do I need to close this down or am I going to run out of memory if I open a big web page?
Yeah, yeah. There's a couple of other subtle things which people may not have realised and which I spotted from your very good bullet-pointed N82 roundup from yesterday. The autofocus in video mode to a limited degree. Unlike the N93i, which I've ranted about in the past, where they put also autofocus and video recording mode on for the prototypes and then ripped it out mercilessly for production units. Here they seem to have got it right. They've put a compromise in. On the N82, if you try and take a video clip, it autofocuses on the subject you start filming at and then holds that fixed focus while it does the actual video recording. I think this is an excellent compromise and will certainly help me in doing my video work. So kudos to Nokia there. And maybe that can be rolled into firmware upgrades and other devices, I don't know. But that's a great step. The second subtlety is this auto-rotation of the screen, whereby it only works in one plane. If you have to tilt the device, the N82, to the left, whereby any application display, any mode, any dialogue will switch to landscape mode. This can be annoying if you're trying to read in bed and you're lying flat and it's holding the device above you because the sensor gets confused. But in principle, this is good. It's a shame that it only works in one plane, i.e. if you're left-handed and you rotate it to the right, the display presumably isn't then upside down. So maybe something they can fix in firmware. But the auto-rotation can be turned off, apparently, in one of the settings if it really annoys you. But that and the autofocus are two subtleties, which I'm really looking forward to trying for real and seeing in other devices.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the autofocus makes so much sense because most of the video you're capturing on a mobile phone tends to be 30-second, maybe a minute segments, and you're taking the same subject. And yeah, given how problematic autofocus can be in terms of creating noise or creating a sort of fuzzy effect when you see it in video, I think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, the auto-rotation thing, I think it's a bit of a gimmick because most of the time when I want to rotate it into a different orientation, it tends to be in something like web browsing, and it's easy to do that from a menu option. But it's nice to see it in there, and especially as it's a user-configurable option. I suspect the limitation on only working in one plane is down to S60, because it's only able to rotate in one particular orientation, and maybe something, as you say, they can update it in the software. It's little touches like that, and obviously that's going to be compared to the iPhone and the iPod Touch, which has that rotation built in. But one thing I did notice from the demo videos is that the rotation is pretty quick. I mean, it's almost an instant switch, which does make it considerably less annoying, because having tried it out on various other devices, it's not just unique to the iPhone or the N82 by any means. There can often be quite a lag, and I think the biggest thing we complain about is when things slow down what you're trying to do. So I'm glad they've got that right in terms of speed.
Yeah, it should be noted that the N95 8GB and even the N95 on version 12 firmware, the landscape switching is pretty much instantaneous on those as well. So I think S60 have well and truly sorted this now.
Yes, and for those who've actually got N95s or N95 8GB, there's actually going to be a bit of software out probably sometime in December called Rotate Me 2.0, and it's currently sort of in beta testing, and they're going to try and get it signed, which means anybody will install it. At the moment it's only self-signed, but that actually will add that functionality to the N95 and the N95 8GB. There are a few battery problems, I understand, at the moment, but
I don't think this is going to be relevant, actually, Rafe, because I think Rotate Me will be obsolete by the time it comes out. A little bird has told me, or at least flew overhead and dropped an envelope to say that I think the N95 and N95 8GB will have new firmware by then that includes the auto-rotation and enabling of the accelerometer. So I don't think we'll need to go third-party on this one. I think it will arrive in firmware.
Well, there you go. You heard it here first. Okay, so we've talked a little bit around the N82, and I'm sure it's something we're going to come back to in the future once we've actually had a chance to play with the device. But I thought we'd also, in this podcast, talk a little bit about something else that came recently from Nokia Beta Labs, which, as people probably know, is where Nokia is testing software early on and giving people early access, which, just as an aside, I think is an absolutely great thing to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, testing it early on allows them to get the feedback earlier. And although, you know, the people who tend to do that sort of thing aren't necessarily typical users, I think that kind of feedback can be very popular for how popular a bit of software is going to be or what sort of features you should be thinking about. So the one we're going to feature today in the show is Nokia Audiobooks. And this is a bit of software that allows you to listen to audiobooks on your phone. Now, this is something that's already possible on your phone because, after all, you've got an MP3 player and various other audio playing solutions, but Nokia Audiobooks is specifically optimized for listening to audiobooks, It will convert an MP3 file or other existing CD into an optimized format. We won't go into the technical details, but suffice to say it can save about 500% over even an MP3. Of course, when you're listening to an audiobook, this can run into many hours, so that can be quite a valuable space saving over the time. More important than that is probably the fact that it also has chapter controls, so you can browse through a list of books that you've got stored on your phone and go to a specific chapter, so it's much easier to actually have the experience of listening to a book. It's much more like actually reading a book rather than trying to hunt through a list of MP3 files or get the right thing to play. Now, I've been having a go with this, and I've been quite impressed with this software. I think it's one of those things that's pretty obvious to be able to do on a phone, and might become more popular. There are, of course, some issues around the fact that you have to get the audiobook in the first place, and at the moment they're testing it with public domain stuff. But if this sort of thing takes off, it may well be that you'll be able to incorporate audiobooks from somewhere else. But I think this is one of those things that's a moment going, eureka, this is a good thing to do on your phone. We've already got podcasts, but I think audiobooks will maybe reach out to a different market. I don't know if you've tried this software, Steve.
I haven't tried the new Audible software. I have been trying out the whole concept of wandering around, living my life while listening to the spoken word, though. And this is only in the last few months, really. I've actually had the eureka moment of just being able to walk through the park and listening to catching up on an audio podcast. I don't know if other readers and listeners are similar to me, but all these podcasts stack up and you think, I'll listen to them one day, and they just got a whole hard drive full of them, and I never get around to listening to them. So I've started loading them up, and you're doing the washing up. You're washing your hair even, you're having a bath, and you can have it over the speaker on some of these devices, like the N95, a pretty loud speaker, and you can effectively forget what's on Radio 5 or some boring program you didn't listen to. You can have your own smartphone radio, if you like, with Audible books and podcasts. They're on demand to entertain and keep you interested whatever you're doing, and it never needs to take away from the rest of your life, because you can carry on doing the housework or your driving at the same time. So it's a real way of reclaiming lost time and catching up with all your reading.
Absolutely. I mean, I would put these audio books into exactly the same category of podcasts. It's just maybe a slightly different audience. And I know certainly, people who are, I suppose the phrase to use is time poor. But as you say, catching up at any moment, maybe when you're driving in the car or you're on public transport somewhere or you're walking the dog or something like that. I know that's when I do a lot of catching up with podcasts, because, there is only so much time in the day. Yeah. But I think it's really encouraging to see the boundaries being pushed in terms of what kind of content we can get on our phone. And I'm sure we'll cover podcasting and the podcasting application in more detail later on. That's one of the other solutions we were going to mention as an alternative to audiobooks. Steve briefly mentioned Audible, and Audible is a company that provides premium audiobooks as well as newspapers. There's actually an Audible player for phones, and it's actually a Java program, and it does work on most of the Symbian phones, so if you're interested in this sort of thing, that's well worth checking out as well. You don't have to necessarily use the Nokia audiobook program. Of course, you can use your do-it-yourself via the music player, but if you're interested in this sort of thing and you like episodic content and maybe looking for something outside the usual podcast, I'd definitely recommend giving this a go, because there's various classics available on LibriVox.org and also some books available through Podaudio.com, and I'll put these in the show notes so people can visit them. But it's a worthy addition to the feature set of any smartphone, I feel.
Yeah, and it should be just emphasised, Rafe mentioned earlier, a 500% saving over MP3, and that's 500% saving over fairly low bitrate MP3. In actual fact, we're talking for an Audible book, I guess somewhere around about 10 megabytes for an hour's listening, which is pretty impressive. So you could have 10 or 20 audiobooks, enough listening to keep you going through a long illness, 10 long car journeys, 5 plane flights, all in 40, 50 megabytes of your 2 gigabyte card, which is nothing in this day and age. So it really is a great way of stocking yourself up for some unexpected wait at some point in the future.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, because although the phones now have more memory, especially if you're on one of the more recent ones that supports the high capacity memory cards, it's still a precious thing, memory. So I think anything that saves it is a really good thing. So I'm a big fan of that kind of the Nokia audiobooks, and I hope to see further developments of that in due course.
Absolutely.
So one thing we wanted to do in this discussion podcast is just talk a little bit about the world outside Symbian, and this is what we're just going to do in the last few minutes of the show before before moving on to our final feature and saying goodbye. And the big news of the moment is, of course, Google's Android OS. And this week, the SDK came out. Now, have you had a chance to have a look at the videos of this, Steve?
I haven't. You're the expert on this one, Rafe, so you chat away.
Okay, so I'm going to chat away. Now, Android's come out with an SDK. What that actually means is they've given us a quick demo of how the software development is going to work and an initial look at the UI. It should be stressed it is very early days because it's at least probably 12 months before the first devices come out, so there's plenty of time to work on this. This is being seen as a fairly major competitor to Symbian, and that's not an inaccurate statement, although it's, as I say, it's worth stating and underlining this is very early days. The first devices won't be out till late next year, and even then I think it will be very relatively small initial shipments. But it's interesting to see the approach Google have taken. They've come out with a very streamlined SDK, and what that means is it's much easier for developers to get into it. I've seen some immediate comparisons to Symbian and how difficult it is to develop for Symbian. And it's true, it's not very straightforward to develop for Symbian, although it's something that Nokia are working on with stuff like the PIPs and the OpenSeed and indeed the Carbide IDEs. But Google have the advantage of obviously starting from a fresh slate now, whereas the Symbian stuff is based on stuff that's anything up to 8 or 9 years old or going back even further into Cyan history. But I think one of the notable things about this Google Android platform is that actually it may be a challenger more in the mid-tier than at the high end. It doesn't necessarily have some of the features that S60 does at the higher end, and here I'm thinking about things like the mapping and navigation framework. That's the thing that allows developers to use Nokia Maps and the GPS within their own applications in a standardized and central way. Google, by contrast, does have hardware support for the GPS, but doesn't have a complete framework to go with it. So I actually think this will be providing more competition in the sort of lower-end S60 devices. I'm thinking things like the 6120, and perhaps moreover against Series 40, because it will be providing a pretty compelling experience in terms of a web browser. They're using the same WebKit-based browser as S60 is. So this is something I'm going to keep my eye on, but at the same time, I think it's important not to get too excited about it because it's some time away. But we'll certainly be keeping an eye on it and seeing how things progress.
Yes, it's worth mentioning that I think you're absolutely right about mid-tier. The complexities and difficulties of making a real-time operating system that's fully 3.5G aware and handles Wi-Fi and multimedia and cameras and all the really top-end stuff that we're seeing in smartphones now, like the N95 and N82. All those cutting-edge things, they're proving quite hard to mimic, which is why Apple started off on their iPhone is being edge only, and it can't do this, it can't do the other. Windows Mobile have been struggling to get up that ramp, and they're only just getting now there to 3.5G devices. Real-time operating systems are really, really hard. It's taken Symbian years of hard work to get where they are, and I simply don't believe that, even with Google's resources, that sheer mishmash of companies can come together to produce something that's cohesive and works reliably in a short time frame. So I think, we are looking definitely at the end of next year. I think Symbian are wise to keep an eye on Android, but I think with Symbian's their screenplay and their freeway technologies that we featured a few months back from their smartphone show, some of these screenplay stuff was just awesome, the way that you can layer parts of the UI on top of other parts of the UI while maintaining real-time ultra high-speed comms in the background feeding information into the different layers. And it's that kind of maturity that I think things like the Google's Android project and even Apple with their OS X iPhone, I think they're going to really struggle to fight that way up, the same way up that learning curve.
I think that's absolutely right, because what people probably don't necessarily realise is the hardest thing to do is get these kind of performance features while not compromising on the performance of the OS and the sort of end user experiences, how fast does something happen, and maintaining low power consumption, because those are the two big restrictions on mobile devices at the moment. You only have so much processing power to play with, and you only have so much power as in battery life to play with. And so it isn't as easy as people necessarily think. And of course, when we talk about things happening in a year's time, you have to bear in mind that the mobile world moves very fast. So who knows what's going to be happening in a year's time. I think it's perfectly possible that we'll see more activity from the likes of Limo, which is another Linux-based platform. And indeed, Access may well come up with something. And they could be very strong, for example, in the Asian market in the mid-tier. So I think it's very easy to make snap judgments and say this Google Android thing is wonderful. And without a doubt, having the Google backing is a very powerful card. And certainly the initial SDK is very promising. But I think it's also worth putting it in perspective and realizing that it's not necessarily going to be good at this point, because there are a lot of ifs and buts before we get there. And the industry is constructed in such a way that there are people with plenty of vested interests, be it operators, manufacturers, people licensing various bits of software. So it's not easy to just slap something together in a short space of time. Anyway, as I say, we'll be covering that more in the future, no doubt, both on All About Symbian and hopefully in some of these podcasts. The final item of this podcast, what I wanted to do, is highlight one particular bit of software that we'd enjoyed this week. And I know that Steve has already posted about this on the site, but I thought it would be worth reiterating, which is a bit of freeware called Light Notepad. So do you want to tell us about that, Steve?
And, you know, I thought you were going to say lightsaber for a moment, and I was going to break out the Star Wars lightsaber fragment. But no, it's the Sirius app after all. Light Notepad, not to be confused with lightsaber, is a plain text editor, which doesn't sound very exciting, but most of these modern smartphones, they're geared to different data types, and they ultimately leap in and assume you want to do a certain thing. This is Light Notepad. It's a piece of freeware that I came across this week, which basically it does what it says on the tin. Any bit of JavaScript or HTML or any other code that's basically plain text, you can edit in its raw format, and the software, the smartphone, doesn't try and leap in and do everything for you. It lets you edit the plain text and save as plain text, which basically means you can update code, you can send it off to websites without the software quick word or S60 notes getting in the way. So highly recommended, Light Notepad. It's a bit of a raw interface, but give the author some feedback, donate him some PayPal dollars, and I'm sure we'll see a slicker version, but highly recommended.
Yeah, and I know including many others use a notepad-based thing just as a to-do list. So even for something like that, if you prefer doing things in an old-school way rather than using the onboard notes application, I guess it's got applicability there as well. So it's always nice to see that kind of freeware come out.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so thanks everybody for listening. As I say, this is the first discussion-based podcast we've done, and we'd love to hear some feedback on whether you like it or what we can do to improve. And if you've got any ideas about what you'd like talked about, or have got any questions you'd like us to ponder and answer, please do get in touch. You can email me at rafe@allaboutsymbian.com or use the contact form on the website.
You've been listening to the All About Symbian podcast, www.allaboutsymbian.com. Copyright 2007.